Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Go on, Father, we just want to come before you this morning, just praying for your help, and it's your voice alone that's going to be heard again in this building this morning. Father, just speak to each one of our hearts. Father, just wherever we've came in the door of the church requiring this morning, Father, we just pray that you're going to fill our hearts, fill that vacuum, fill that void, whatever it might be in our life, whatever it is that we need from you this morning. Our Father, we just pray that you will be their provider. Just speak into our lives. Again, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, it's a real joy to be in church this morning. I honor Stuart, Pastor Stuart and Jen and that whole, youth team for being here at church this morning. You had a choice to make. Maybe not so much Stuart, but the youth and the drivers as well, can it drove, can you that choice? You could have just easily just turned door in bed and hang another couple of hours and there wouldn't have been any problem in doing that. But you made a choice to be here this morning, and we know that God will speak to you and bless you again for being here and making that real effort again this morning. So again, we honor, great to hear a report. I was just so excited to hear good news praise report this morning, again at the prayer meeting at 9:45, it just lifted my spirits that God is moving, that God, again, is doing things at this point in time. And that leads us to Nehemiah. Daniel gave a brief introduction to Nehemiah last week, and if you weren't here, just very, very briefly, that Nehemiah was a Jew. He's out in Babylon. The people from Israel, from Jerusalem, been taken into captivity many years. And this man, Nehemiah, was, if I can say this kindly, he was no different from anybody here in Apex Church. If you're a man or a woman, he wasn't a superstar. He wasn't something special. But God used him to do something special. And I believe that God can do the same for each one of you to do. You might think, who am I? I just came from the northeast of Scotland, Peterhead, or maybe you've came to Peterhead from different parts, again, of the UK or different parts of the world. You might think, I'm nothing special, but I want to tell you today that God can use you to do something special for his kingdom. It doesn't matter your age. We are honoring the young people, but I honor everybody in Apex Church at Faithfully, different ages. I come along here every Sunday morning, and again, we honor you for your faithfulness, again, in that as well. But Nehemiah, again, he was a Jew, that he was out in exile. He wasn't even in his homeland. It was a strange country. Again, his roots were back in Israel, back in Jerusalem. The culture was different, but here he was serving, and he did a good job. He was the cupbearer, again, to the king. He wasn't out in the fields, working in the heat of the day. He was able to stand alongside, again, the king, and taste the wine, whatever it was that the king was asked to drink. Nehemiah tasted to make sure there wasn't any poison. It wasn't to make sure if it was good. There was a purpose. He was the first guy. He was the first fall guy. Okay? And again, if anything went wrong, again, with poison, he was a guy who was going to take it. I take one for the king in that sort of basis. And I want to turn to the Word of God, Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to just go on a journey this morning. Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4 here. And it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushana, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, 1 to 6, my hands are so sweaty that my iPad's not even moving with the sweat in my fingertips, honestly. Lord, just help me this morning. Nehemiah 2, verse 1 to 6. Again, it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, that when wine was before him, that he took the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had never been sad in his presence before. Therefore, the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, since you are not sick? This is nothing but sorrow of heart." So I became dreadfully afraid, and I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire?" Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, "If it pleases the king, if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judea, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it." Then the king said to me, the queen also sitting beside him, "How long will your journey be, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him again a time. I just want to get a picture. Nehemiah, he's living away from his homeland. Again, as I've said, now life is probably a good for Nehemiah. He's got a favored job, again, with the king. Again, there's absolutely no lack, again, in his life. But Hanani from Judah, he comes with a bad report that Jerusalem's walls are broken down. The people are in great distress. Again, the gates are burned down. And again, with that report, Nehemiah, again, sits down again and weeps. I'm thinking Apex Church this morning, there's people here this morning and your hearts are really, really heavy. And you can maybe relate. You're going through mourning. You've lost a loved one. Things are maybe difficult. Again, your family life, maybe health, again, or employment. And you know what it is if you're going through a bereavement, how it was for, again, Nehemiah, that his heart was broken. Again, and it says that Nehemiah sits down, and he was mourning, again, for many days. Again, even Nehemiah, he can't keep it hidden. He can't keep his sadness hidden, even from the king, again, in his palace. Each one of us, unfortunately, in our lives can, even as we're Christians, that we will face days of sadness. And sometimes we used to think, "Oh, Christians, you shouldn't be sad. The joy of the Lord is your strength." And, oh, your heart's burning, eh? And your heart is sad. And can over us, can last number of months. Again, I remember when Joanna Haggith came on a Sunday evening, and Dave and Allison. Again, you spoke about your journeys, again, and your experiences, but just trials that have came along. Again in your life. And when it happens, unfortunately, it's going to be part of life. Again, it doesn't matter how old or how young you are. For some of you here, you've gone through many, many trials, days that you can understand how it is to mourn, again, and be sad, again, on that basis, and just with things in life, again, that you are, again, going through. I was really surprised when Neil said, "David, can you share on the 8th of October. I thought there's lots of other Sundays, but the 8th of October, I got quite a surprise and share in the morning, and then something resonated within my heart, and I'm going to share that with you this morning. You see, 1 year ago last week, I'll just get the first picture up here. My family were in the Philippines, and Grace Louise, she was going back to university, and she left home. Mrs. Pastor Bong, some of you, again, have met, and we're at a provincial airport. It's out the back of Beyond. And she was flying home on her sail to go back to university. And, again, life was good. We'd seen a great mission trip. Everything was going great. And Grace and myself, it was our anniversary. So we thought, instead of coming back home, let's have a stopover in Singapore, just get a next picture here. And you'll notice the date. It's the 8th of October, 2017 today. that picture was taken 8th of October 2016. It says it's 11:18. It was 11:18 UK time, not in Singapore. And after having 2 weeks of rice, okay, in the Philippines, in Singapore, we went to Gordon Ramsay's British restaurant and shepherd's pie and fish and chips after 2 weeks of rice. And we were enjoying that meal. I'm telling you, we were enjoying that meal. 1 year ago today, Daniel doesn't know this, Neil didn't know, but get the next picture. And then 1 hour later, we get a WhatsApp through a picture for the UK. And we were like Nehemiah when he got a bad report from a homeland. We got a picture through that Grace Louise was having to go into hospital. This came one year ago for a PET CT scan, and the next one along. And then there was a letter again to say that we've got to meet an oncologist. And I can relate with Nehemiah this morning. And for some of you here, you know what I'm speaking about. And I want to tell you this morning, again, when odd things come along or sadness will come into your life, for me personally, I'm different from my daughter, I'm different from my wife, but it was like taking a candle and that candle being burning with a flame, and in ministry, it was though that flame just got extinguished there and then in that moment, again in my own experience, who it was. And just that sadness and something, again, had been taken away. But I want to encourage you this morning that at the same time as this was going on in my life, I'll get the next picture, it was a celebration of hope in Peterhead. And I want to bring you good news this morning that you can get a bad report, but at the same time of good news that we can come along and we can say, hey, there's hope, there's a celebration, again, a hope, again, in your life. And at that same time, Will Graham was here this same week last year, and God was doing great things. And some of you are here today because of the celebration of hope last year. Some of you are born again, you're saved, you're Christians because of celebration of hope last year. And we give God glory to what he can do, again, at different times, again, in our lives. So even in times of sadness, we want to come along and we can celebrate, again, words of encouragement for what God, again, is doing. I want to tell you in that candle that illustrated that even though the flame can be put out, the candle is still there. It doesn't diminish in size. It's just ready for the Holy Spirit and God to come along and light that candle. Again, for some of you in church here, you've gone through difficult experiences and you're feeling like Nehemiah, and that candle, that flame has gone out in your life. I want to tell you, some of you been involved in ministry years ago, I want to tell you, God wants to light that candle again today and set you in flame in service, again, for service for him, again, in your own experience. I'm praying that in my own life, just seeking God. God, just set this candle for this last year, again, how difficult it has been, Lord. Just set it on fire again for your honor and for your glory. And it's such a privilege to share this message of hope with you compared to 1 year ago where we were standing again as a family. But what did Nehemiah do? What did Nehemiah do about his situation? Well, we read it in chapter 1, verse 4. It tells us that Nehemiah, he didn't run to the priest and say, help my family. No, he fasted and he prayed. And I want to encourage each one in the church here today that whatever you're going through in life, there's no substitute from what the Word of God tells us to do. The pattern is there. You need to fast. You need to pray. Again, not other people. You need to do it. You need to do it. Again, to pray for your circumstance, again, and for your family. You see, you need to cultivate a culture, again, a prayer in your life, but also on a corporate basis, again, as well. I say that very kindly this morning, that, again, as a church, Apex Church, we need to cultivate, again, corporate prayer, again, in our own life. I'm just thinking over the last year, through prayer, seeing the miraculous, for example, in Grace Louise, that what the doctors have said, this is impossible, that we've seen the impossible in front of our eyes. And I'm thinking of different people. I'm thinking Mikey Campbell, as we mentioned today, and Alex Stebach here, and Mikey's here as well, and just to see what God has done your lives, the miraculous. Again, there's other people here. I'm going to mention your names, but this last year, you know I'm speaking about. You've gone through great trials of health, and you've came out the other side, again, through the power, again, of prayer. And we give God thanks and all the glory, again, for that. Again, I want to encourage you. Hey, come along on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, 1 hour, start at 7. We do finish at 8 o'clock. And I want to tell you, it's good to complete, hope I can go for saying this, Daniel. It's good to complete prayer cards, but it's even better to come along and pray for others. I often think I'm so grateful for people around the world that's prayed for my family. And again, I think, well, God, have I been praying for their families? And when people come together on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night to pray for my family, well, maybe I should go and pray for other people as well. And I say that kindly, just to come along, come 1 hour. Again, you can go back home and catch up on the TV and iPlayer and the rest of it when you go back home. But 1 hour, and you will be blessed again, and you will be encouraged again when you come again and when you pray. I love this next part that we find out that Nehemiah, he found favor with the king. He found favor with the king. That his heart was, he was sad, and the king says to him, "King, what's the matter with you?" And he tells a story, and then he gets to go on his journey back to, again, his homeland. He found favor again with the king. I want to tell you this, that when you pray, you're going to find favor with God. And God will put you in places and position of favor. You really will. I'm thinking this church, things we've prayed for. We prayed for Ian Sutherland when it was the local elections. And with Ian Sutherland, again, as a local councillor, somebody can make a difference in our community. And I'm thinking, by the favor of God, like the cupbearer was next to the king, the right place, the right time. We could give God thanks for Campbell Thompson and George and Jennifer Connor. Their positions in the community, Karen, the police, absolutely divinely incredible. Matthew and Stuart, again, divine positions, again, getting into the schools to do the assemblies. And haven't we been blessed at church this last year and a half, 2 years, when the oil and gas went down hill and people were out of work and lost jobs? We came as a church and faithfully praying that people will get into employment and they wouldn't lose their jobs, and they even got better jobs and promotions. And I find that just really, really incredible how God has found favor. Even speaking to Martin, he starts a new job tomorrow, Rochelle. Come on, give God a clap offering. Praise God. He lost a job in oil and gas, and he's still got another job, and now he's got a better job. And some of you, I'm going to mention your names, but you're in the same position at the current time. Isn't God good? Isn't God good that we can find favor again in difficult times, again before God? And my next reading, we're well through the message this morning. Our next reading is Nehemiah, again in chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Nehemiah 2, 11 to 13. So I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. Then I rose in the night, I and a few men with me. And I told no one that what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one on which I rode. And I went out by night through the valley gate to the serpent well and the refuse gate, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which burned with fire. Verse 16 to 18. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the others, again, who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the distress that we are in now, how Jerusalem lies to waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be in approach." And I told them of the hand of my God, which has been good upon me, hallelujah, and also the king's word that he had spoken to me. In this verse, Nehemiah has left Babylon. The king has given him favor. He's written him letters to go back to Jerusalem. He comes to Jerusalem. He hasn't told anybody what God has shown him to do. And in a night season, he goes out at night and a few people with him, and he goes around checking the walls that were destroyed in the city that he'd heard the bad can report about. And he goes out again as night season. He looks at walls again falling down, burning gates again within, again the city. He was a man that was burdened for his city. I want to tell you today, what's your burdens for Peterhead or the town that you come from? If it's Fraserburgh, Mentlow, wherever you come from, what's your burdens again for where again you are? What, when you go about, what really burdens you spiritually to see happening again in your hometown? I just love the stories that Neil often tells about his dad and about Mrs. Cameron. And I just love that picture every time he put up at the open air in Broad Street. People that had a burden to reach out into the community. And Simon Cameron and that family, they went out and they reached out. They had a burden for their town. Well, in 2017, what's your burden for Peterhead? We saw Celebration of Hope last year. But what's our burden for the town that we live in again today? I'm not a guy that goes to Jug Scotland on a Monday or a Wednesday night. I can tell you that, okay? But I try and get a little exercise, go out for a walk, spend time with God, kind of in prayer. And just a few weeks ago, get the next picture up, Andrew. Again, Grace Louise dropped me off. She's away at the youth on a Friday night. And I thought, I'll have a walk around the harbour, see if the guys in the Favonius certainly go. And never saw them. But when I went down to the harbour, standing on this white bollard, not in the black stick as we call it, the harbour, but on the white bollard, I was taken aback that here was a young lady with her shoes off, standing on the top of that white bollard like this. And I knew this lady, she wanted to kind of jump kind of into the harbour. I saw that she was troubled, and she's standing there, her shoes off in her bag, and she is ready to jump. I had left my phone in the house, okay? And I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? I'm not a counsellor in the basis. It's people that are troubled and wait to maybe commit suicide. And I'm thinking, Lord, what can I do? I didn't have a phone to phone the emergency services. And I thought, I'd heard somebody say, you didn't, and I may be wrong, but I'd heard before, you didn't go up to the person and startle them and start speaking to them, and they might just go for it. And I kept back, and I said, nothing more than I can do but pray for this lady. And for 10 minutes as she was there, I just kept praying for her, Lord, whatever is tormenting her, Lord, take it away. Lord, just spare this lady. Again, she's a child of God, just praying, getting from a distance and watching her. And I can tell you, my heart was broken that evening for that lady. I'm thinking, I'm walking the streets in Peterhead, and this is what I'm seeing on a Friday evening. I went down the town the next morning, 10 to 11 in the morning, we get a haircut. And I was horrified to see an assault taking place in Earl Street. A man in the ground and two other guys just smashing his head into the ground. And I went in fear of my own life to the situation. And the guy scrambled into my car, blood all over the place. And I couldn't believe it, 10 to 11 on a Saturday morning in my hometown. And that's two guys, I want to say their background, but two tough guys. They just looked at me, so who am I? Who am I to try and interfere with what they were doing to this poor, poor man? And in that moment, a bit like maybe the Good Samaritan, I got him in my car and went to the police station. I knew that they would take care if the ambulance was required and that, and ended up having myself to give a 45-minute statement. Seriously. Seriously. I think, go and chase the guys that's done us. Kind of, actually, my phone room, I took a photograph, okay? And but hey, I just thought about my town. What's the burdens for your town, the town, again, that you live in at this time? You see, again, the story goes on that, again, Nehemiah shares his vision with the people, again, of the town. He wants to do something, and I want to tell you this. God gave a vision to a cupbearer, and a cupbearer went to a city, and he shared the vision, and the people followed him. And I want to tell you this, young people, older people, if God gives you a vision in ministry, whatever it is, then I think I'm just, whatever your name is, if God gives you a vision, he gave a cupbearer a vision, it changed a city, and he can do the same for each one of us again this morning, again in Peterhead. See, God uses, again, insignificant people, again, to do great things. He takes the ones, when you go through the Bible, the number of times he takes one person and he gives one person a kind of vision or something to accomplish. Not one person goes away and does great things, and God can do the same again today with you again this morning. I want to turn to Nehemiah. I think it's my last reading today. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. In Nehemiah 3, no, we're just going to read two verses, verse 1 and verse 8. Then Elizabeth the high priest rose up with his brethren and the priests and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built it as far as the tower of 100 and consecrated it then as far as the tower of Hananel. And verse 8 again reads, next to him, Uzziel the son of Hananiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs. Also next to him, Hananiah, one of the perfumers, made repairs, and they fortified Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. And this whole chapter, chapter 3, is about the different people. It surrounded that city, and they rebuilt the walls again of again the city. Nehemiah, you see, he was just a cupbearer, but he was some leader. I can tell you this, man, to get everybody to come behind him, there must have been something God-given with him being a great leader. The people caught the vision of what Nehemiah had said, and then they started to rebuild. I just love it when we can come behind our leaders in the church and they pass on vision, and as a church, we can catch that vision and we can come in behind them and support them again in what they're actually again doing. And God wants us to do the same thing today. Can be unified as these people came behind Nehemiah. Again, they were absolutely unified. I thought practically of a whole big city. It's a whole big city, and it tells you all the people it served. But at the end of the day, the people at the other side of the city couldn't see what the people were doing at this side. And I want to just let that resonate with you for a moment, that the people at the other side of the city couldn't see what was happening at this side of the city. And we have to be careful. This is a busy church. Lots of ministries going on. And sometimes we're not aware who's actually all been involved in ministry and being a volunteer. And it can be dangerous. Can be dangerous for us to be critical at times at who's pulling their weight within the church. But the reality is we didn't know who's working at the other side of the city. It was two guys drove many buses doing to Glasgow. It was a ministry. It was a sacrifice of their personal time. But we wouldn't have known if it wasn't said. And there's times in church, there's people busy working. They're maybe not in your ministry, but they're giving their time and resources somewhere else. And we've just got to be careful when we're being busy that can we're wise with these type of things, that we stay in unity, we stay in harmony. I'll get the next pictures, Andrew. A number of months ago earlier this year, we had I Love My Church. This is rebuilding walls, okay? I love my church, and I think there's three pictures there. Andrew can go through them. Of I love again my church, and we might not be rebuilding walls, but when a church comes together again in unity, it is absolutely brilliant. On that basis, this no matter, Nehemiah, if you're a goldsmith or a perfumer or a builder or a joiner, they all came and they worked. People that the things that I'm thinking, what's a goldsmith, a perfumer got to do with building walls? Well, some of us remember when the Apex Center was being, I not even done up. I'm thinking, what's the word? Renovation, big renovations. And a number of people were involved in that project, that journey. And I remember being doing it on a Saturday morning and on my knees with filler. I think it was Nicky Neri, is what I'm saying, filling nail holes, okay? And then painting walls, something. And Lord, something strange is going on here. I'm filling these nail holes and I'm painting walls. My day off on a Saturday, I didn't even do this in my own house. I pay for a painter. Right? And I'm thinking, why am I painting walls and filling and painting walls? That's my day off. And I pay for a painter. I didn't even do this myself. But I can tell you, when we were in ministry in the Apex Centre, if there was a chair against the wall, I removed that chair so the wall never got marked when somebody leaned their chair against the wall. I took care of the Apex Centre because I'd worked on it. And our people, they're perfumers or goldsmiths, I can tell you, they would have checked out walls out. Is there any cement coming out? Does it need just the cracks? And we should be as a church, the same thing, being together, looking for us small things, that if something's out of place or a paper on a flare, if we've worked in it, if you've hoovered the flare on a Friday night after the kids have left, and if you see a paper on a Sunday morning, you will pick it up because you've got pride. And we should have pride in the facilities that, again, we have got. On a practical basis, I Daniel and Stuart this morning in ministry, learning from, again, this great man, Nehemiah. And just, again, moving on, I'll soon be finished, that, again, it's loved it who we've came together as a church. I'll get the pictures Alpha together. Get the pictures Alpha. We'll get some of them up. It's who we have came together as a church, came Alpha. People from different backgrounds. There's been this unity, again, in the church. And I'm thinking back with Nehemiah, who got everybody together to build the walls, and who we've came together as a church, again with Alpha. Spoke to Peter Duncan a few weeks ago, and I says, can we just go with the girls upstairs? And he says, the girls are having a great time upstairs. Anne-Marie himself joined it downstairs. And he said something that resonated. He says, David, it's the first time as a family we've done something together during the week in church. Because they would go to life group themselves on a Tuesday, and their kids would be dropped off to Friday. But for the first time, them upstairs and downstairs families were coming together and doing ministry again on a Friday night. And I absolutely, again, think it, again, it is brilliant that when we can come together again as a church. And just to give one story, just as I finish, maybe just to, again, illustrate, just as we look at the next season, again, going into 2018 in God's will, and can as we build on doing Alpha together, that I remember back 10, 12 years ago, I was every second or third Friday, we'd go up to Sunnybrae, up to Teen Challenge, and volunteer. And there was things that I was, I'll cut my gift ends, things that I maybe not too bad at doing. And I thought I'd go up to Teen Challenge and I'd volunteer and maybe be used, kind of not gift ends. And Paul Ritchie, he was the gaffer, as we would say. He was the guy who would give you the jobs. And I used to despair. I got the worst jobs out. I got the worst, nothing to do with what I was good at. I got the worst jobs out from Paul Ritchie. Again, like painting the walls, I had to change radiators. Again, I call a plumber, right? And it's different things. And one day, he said, David, I've got a good job for you. Me and another guy was in a program. And I think I got more benefit than the guys in the program, right? And he said, I want you to go and dig three holes. No, the big, wide holes, because we're going to transplant three trees. And these were fruit trees, and we're moving things about Teen Challenge. And I want you to dig three big holes, so wide enough to get this trees put into the big holes. And I'm thinking, oh, no. Manual work, right? Okay, I used to do it when I was a fisherman. I didn't do it any longer, but hey, go and dig three holes. So I saw the guy taking a pickaxe. I'm thinking, no, we're digging holes, spades. But this guy took a pickaxe and, okay, I'll follow you. So he goes through this bit of ground doing it up at Sunnybrae, and we starts digging, and within 6 inches, we hot stone, right? That's why the pickaxe. And it was steeny grun, as we would say, right? Hard grun. And we got the topsail off, but then with no option, we'd get these pickaxes to try and get the ground out and mark as big holes. And I'm a tall guy, and this is going beneath this, so I'd get down on my knees to get the pickaxe to go into the ground. Again, I'm thinking, what on earth am I doing here on a Friday digging holes, right? Now, there's two of us, we're digging a hole individually. I'm looking at this guy and he's looking at me, and I know what's going through his mind. If you finish first, David, you can dig a third one. And I'm looking at him. I think, I wish he'd go faster so he can dig a third hole. But we dug the third hole together. We shared the load. And we had good banter going backwards and forwards. I was trying to encourage him in his journey of life. But all and I think, I'm thinking, Lord, why on earth am I digging holes and a sweat stick in doing? My back's sore, my arms are sore. Why am I having to put all this effort in to dig holes? You know this, I only dug the holes. I never put the trees in. I want you to pay attention to this. I only dug the holes. I did hard work. I never was the guy that put the trees in. But the next one time I went back, the trees were in. I said, oh, that's great, the trees are in. But when I went back year after year, I always used to look at our three trees. And I want to tell you this, they're fruit trees. And there came the day that that trees bore fruit. And for each one of us in ministry today, and as a church, there's work that we're doing today. It's going to bear fruit in the years to come to God's glory. Mrs. Cameron and Simon, Neil, Phyllis, Daniel, Deborah, Stuart, Jen, and the ministry leaders and volunteers, we've all been digging holes. It's been hard work at times. But I want to encourage you that whatever ministry you've been in, there's going to be a day of fruitfulness. And God is going to give us the fruit of our labours to God's glory. And just as the band is coming up, I just pray that you've been encouraged, hopefully been challenged this morning about the story about Nehemiah and how in unity a people came together and did great things again for God. And I just want you to close your eyes just as we give an opportunity for people to respond again this morning. But just with your eyes closed and just, again, as little noise as possible, that I just pray today, maybe if you're here at church and you've been coming along to church for a number of weeks and maybe say, David, I'm not Christian yet and I love to be part of God's family. I realize that Jesus Christ has died for me and I just want to be in unity and would love to come together, being part of the family of God, an Apex Church, and to serve God, but I need to get my life right before God. And if you've came to that point this morning, I need to make a decision. Just quickly raise your hand and we will pray for you. And again, we can come and speak to you then. So if that's you this morning, just want to make a connection with God. Give your heart to God. Just raise your hand this morning. Amen.